the things that we know about the Lord is what dictates to us how much we delight in Him and how much we enjoy our relationship with the Lord. You know that we all actually have the same relationship with God as the next person, as far as believers go, I mean. Sunday we talk about growing in your relationship with God, and I know what we mean by that. We're talking about growing in our knowledge of Jesus. But your relationship with God, though, don't think about it like a human relationship, because when you grow in a relationship with someone that you know, you are actually getting a closer bond. You're actually getting on better terms with that person. When you grow in a relationship with a person, that's what's happening. But if we're actually talking about relationship for what the word means, if we're not talking about knowledge, you don't actually grow in your relationship with Jesus. You already have the best relationship with Him that you can have. That's what, Jesus reconciled you to the Father. So reconciliation means that you're already tight with God. You're already close to Him. I'm talking about relationship-wise. You already are on good terms with Him. And that is only for believers. Again, God is not angry at the world. God's not showing wrath toward the world. And that's a truth, but they don't have that reconciliation, though. That God has on His end, because you might say, just to answer a question, the Bible said that God has reconciled the world to Himself, and yet I just said that they don't have the reconciliation. So how could that make any sense? That God reconciled the whole world to Himself, but they don't have reconciliation. It was because God on His end reconciled the world to Himself. So God made peace with the world, but the world, because of their unbelief, the Bible talks about in James, in James where it says that for an unbeliever, it says basically that to love the world, and that is just talking about strictly unbelief, but to love the world makes you an enemy of God. That doesn't mean makes you an enemy of God on His end. God has already made peace with them through Jesus. The Bible actually says on God's end, if you read Colossians 2, that God took away the enmity, that there is no enmity between God and the world. So God does not have any hostility toward the world whatsoever. And God never has in His heart, but under the law there was judgment indeed from God toward people. Again, not in His heart ever, but now that Jesus has died for the whole world, God is not showing any hostility or wrath toward the world at all. God has already made amends with the world, but the world, because of their unbelief, they will not receive a full reconciliation there. They make themselves an enemy of God. You know what that means? You know that enmity doesn't have to be two ways. For instance, the Bible says, love your enemies, right? Why are they called your enemies? Because you don't love them? No, but because they will show hostility toward you, obviously, right? You can't say, love your enemies and say, I love you, but I have enmity toward you. That doesn't make any sense. Then you obviously don't love somebody if you're showing hostility toward them. And so God has already shown love toward the world, reconciled the world on His end, made peace on His end toward the world, and no one is an enemy of God anymore as far as God is concerned. In other words, let me say it better this way. God is not an enemy of the world, is what I should say, but the world makes himself enemies of God. And when you receive Jesus, you receive a reconciliation. You've already received the best relationship with God that you can have. So none of us in here are growing in a relationship with God. And it is important to say that, because when we talk about relationship with God, suddenly we do think, well, some Christians just have a more mature relationship with God, or you're here in your relationship with God and I'm here in my relationship with God. But it's not so. Now, someone can be here in their knowledge of what they have in Christ, but you still have the same thing in Christ, though, and God is no more close to a person than another person. I've heard people say before silly things like, again, it's just human thinking. Oh, God loves everybody, but there are certain people that He likes. That's a silly way to put it, though, and it's obviously not biblical. He's not getting that from the Bible, the person I heard say this. But, again, same relationship with God, but if you don't enjoy what you have in Jesus, it's because your version in your mind of what you have in Jesus is inaccurate. Let me say this, and I will stop here. But when we talk about delighting in the Lord and stuff like that, you can't delight yourself in God beyond what you know about Him. So it's really not about trying to delight yourself and trying to enjoy God. Because sometimes we say, oh, I don't want to enjoy the things of this world. I just want to enjoy God. Well, you're never going to enjoy God beyond what you know of Him. If you know this much, about what Jesus did accurately, then that's how much you're going to enjoy. And if you feel condemned over the fact that I just don't feel the passion for God anymore, I don't feel this burning in my heart anymore, Father, why is it that, you know, this is why we pray for revival in the church today, which is a silly thing to pray. Revival means to be made alive again, and that doesn't need to happen. Nothing needs to be revived in your life. There's nothing, oh, when I first got saved, it was so passionate, and I just, you know, I had such a zeal for God, and all these things, that I just don't feel that anymore. It's because your version in your mind, what you think about God, is inaccurate. You cannot enjoy God beyond what you know about him. And I have a million verses for this. If you want a full version of this, I taught a message on a Friday recently called The Samaritan Woman. You can just read, not read that, but listen to that, read the references, but you can listen to that. And that I go over the verses for what I'm saying right now. But that's just, I hope that just encouraged you, because, you know, we're trying to delight ourselves in God. But you know what? Rather do what Miss Lindsay said and listen to God. And we have lots of messages about that too online. But rather be taught of God and listen to God and let him actually show you who he actually is, what he actually did for you in Jesus, and who he actually made you through Jesus. And your enjoyment becomes an after thing. It's a product of that. And you should never feel that lack of passion, lack of zeal for God is the root issue, ever. I don't wake up in the morning and feel condemned or encouraged based off my zeal over God. If I don't feel particularly zealous about knowing God, if I ever haven't felt particularly passionate about knowing him, it's because whatever is going through my mind right now isn't anything to be passionate about. Zeal and all that stuff, you know what? Genuine zeal and genuine passion, genuine appreciation for God will never come because you're trying to conjure it up. If you don't appreciate God, it's because your version of God is not to be appreciated or not to be appreciated very much. So what you need to do is you need to actually start getting taught about what Jesus really did. And I can say this confidently. If you don't appreciate what Jesus did, if you don't, if in your mind, that's not like, man, that's the one thing that I want to do is get to know God more. If that's not your passion or your zeal, and let's not fake here, right? Don't just say you're passionate about God, because there are a lot of people in here that I'm sure have they don't feel particularly zealous about God. But the thing is, that is not the problem, though. Don't condemn yourself over that. Don't condemn yourself even over anything. The point is this. Like I said before, the actual issue is that your mentality, and like I said, I can say this confidently, is wrong about who you think Jesus actually is. Let's not fake. If we don't feel particularly passionate about the Lord and what he did, and that's awesome, and that's the one thing that I just want to get to know more is who I already am in Jesus. If that's not like your number one goal in your life, is because, if it doesn't take that priority, is because what you think about God right now, and I'm telling you this, is the word definitively, I'm telling you this absolutely, that what you think about Jesus is nothing much to be excited about in your mind. If you actually knew the real Jesus, this is what he told the Samaritan woman, and that's why I called the message the Samaritan woman. He told the Samaritan woman that basically a desire for him would absolutely be there. He said, if you knew who I was and if you knew the gift of God, you would already be asking me. You see, the missing desire in the Samaritan woman was, you just don't know who I am and you don't know what I came to give you. And that's the issue with any believer that doesn't desire him, doesn't desire God. It's not because, like I said recently, it's not because you're a bad egg, not because you're a bad Christian and because, you know, something wrong with you. It's actually very natural for you not to desire God if what you think about God is not desirable. And that's most believers today. Most believers, what they think about God is their husband, their wife, their spouse, their boyfriend, their girlfriend is better to them than the way that the things that they believe about God. And that's the truth. They're more forgiving, they're more lenient with them, they're kinder to them than what we believe about God sometimes. And it's not good enough to say God is good in here. And it's not good enough to repeat all the time. And it's not good enough to say, you know, oh, God's faithful. It's not good enough to say all of that. It's what do you believe about what Jesus did for you that is determining how much you enjoy him. That's what it really is, right? You got everything. You got a relationship with God already. God is already reconciled. You've received it. We need to know what we have in Christ, though. That's a very important thing. And you're going to start enjoying it automatically because he is enjoyable. He really is. He's the coolest person you ever want to meet. And he's done everything for you. So anyway, just get to know him, right? And we do that by listening. So, okay, so we're going to give. And if you would like to give today, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. So let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God, which is inside of us. Father, I think it's worth mentioning, Lord, that when we read the Bible, that is not how we get to know God. And that's just so, so vital. We don't read the Bible to get to know God. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Father, that's not heresy. That's not inaccurate. If we were to actually read the Bible, who is it that even the Bible itself says reveals God? Does it say that the Bible reveals God? It actually, if we were to actually read the Bible that we think is our teacher, if we were to actually even read it, we would notice that it's the Holy Spirit. That's how we get to know God. The Holy Spirit is how we get to know God. The Bible is dead by itself. The Holy Spirit, though, when he speaks to us, his word is alive and powerful. His word is able to teach us and lead us into all truth. Again, another verse about the Holy Spirit. The Bible has all wisdom about Jesus written in it, but that's not going to help you because the Bible can't teach you that wisdom. It contains it all in those pages. All those things are the writings of all the things that Jesus did, but you're not going to get to know God by the Bible. You need to have a communion with the Holy Spirit. You need to start listening to the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? The Bible says, acknowledge him. If you will just during your day, if you will just acknowledge the Holy Spirit consistently and not give up on that and continue in that and persevere in that, if you will continue in acknowledging God, he said, I'll make your path straight. I'll teach you. I'll give you wisdom. But if you acknowledge me, whether you're reading the Bible or whether you're not reading the Bible is not your teacher. Now, God will teach you things that the Bible says, but the Bible itself is not your teacher. The Bible itself is, it's not the manual that you're just going to read and get direction. No, the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you into all truth. And if you'll acknowledge him and trust him, acknowledge him in all of your ways, he'll direct your path. He'll make your path straight, and he'll teach you. Yes, even the things that are in the Bible, but he will teach you and he'll guide you. So if we want to get to know the things that we have in Christ more, we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit inside of us in all of our ways. Not something specific about him, just to acknowledge him in all of our ways. He's our teacher. Acknowledge him that way. And he's the one that'll speak to you, and he'll start leading you, and he'll start showing you all the things that you have been freely given in Jesus. And then you'll enjoy those things without even trying. The Christian life is not a hard thing. It's not something that you gotta, you know, plant your feet down firmly and get determined to win something or to do something. Just delighting in him, all that stuff, put all that to the side. Listen to him. He'll show you. And when you know him and the gift of God, that desire will automatically be there. So we thank you so much, Father, for all this. We want to give toward the word and things preached here. Then we'll give right now in Jesus' name. Amen.